Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Wednesday, January 22nd. We've got good topics lined up for today. All week long, we've been talking about the sixth commandment and God's gifts in that and vocation to which he has called us. All the commandments really are about the vocation to which he has called us, especially the second table, that fourth through the tenth commandment about how we care for our neighbor, how we live in relationship to our neighbor. So we're going to talk about some topics specifically related to that. We're going to talk about the Lutheran Singles Association here in just a little bit. And during the second half, we'll also talk about how to talk with confidence with your child about God's gift of sexuality. So we'll do that in the second half of the show as well. So I hope that you can join us for the whole program. Great stuff to cover today. If you have a question for one of our guests today, you can give us a call or an email. In the studio, the number is 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. Or you can email your questions to family@kfuo.org. Be glad to take your questions this hour. We'll try to pack them in. We've got a lot to cover today. I want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting the program. If you'd like to find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin, and I encourage you to do so, go check out our website, kfuo.org, and then go to the sponsor section. Look for that CUW logo, and in the sponsor section, click on that. That'll take you to their page and find out all about the great programs they have to offer. Well, joining us by phone today, our first guest is the president of the Lutheran Singles Association, Linda Gerbitz. Good morning, Linda.
Hi, thank you for inviting me.
Oh, glad to have you this morning as our guest. And quite often when we think about family matters, one group of people that sometimes gets overlooked are the singles, and we want to make sure that we don't overlook those singles. And in our preparation for today's conversation, you shared some statistics with me that I thought were very intriguing when it comes to adult ministry and single adults, that 60% of singles have never married, 25% of single adults are widows or widowers, and then 15% of single adults are divorced. And that raises some interesting questions when it comes to churches and caring for single adults. And that leaves out a group of people, doesn't it?
Yes, it does, because a lot of our groups here, our churches, our congregations, have divorce care, mm-hmm. and they have a grief share support group. But sometimes the single adults that have never been married don't have groups or Bible studies that are either geared for them or even where they're invited to be and to be included in that.
So we don't want to overlook this group of people, the never been married folks. We want to encourage them and be supportive of them. We have a lot to encourage families, support families and parents, grandparents, children. Plenty of things to encourage them and help encourage them to stay connected to the body of Christ, to stay in the Word. But we also want to encourage those single adults. We want to encourage them to stay connected to that body of Christ. And so you are president of the Lutheran Singles Association. Tell us a little bit about the Lutheran Singles Association. What is it? How did it get started?
Okay, back in 1969, or before that, there was a group called the Welfare League.
Yes.
Yes, and that was for youth and young adults. And when that was dissolving or some of the people aged out of there, they said, well, we still want to have a group. And so when they got older, they had decided, well, let's form a singles group. And they were single. In 1969, we held our first conference in Michigan. And we've had conferences every two or three years. So the current form of Lutheran Singles Association is we focus on fellowship and Bible study and serving. So, and that's kind of what we've done all throughout the years here.
So it started as a conference, kind of
offshoot,
yeah, of the Walther League. And, you know, sitting here in the studio at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod International Center, right outside the studio, right outside my window, is a statue of C.F.W. Walther. So he's standing there reading notes. So, yes, it takes us back to those days of Walther League. And the purpose of Walther League and those early days was to encourage young people to stay faithful, to stay connected to the body of Christ, and to live out their vocations faithfully through those things that you just mentioned, through Bible study and fellowship and service. And it's nice to hear that we have an organization to encourage that in our single Christians and our single Lutherans, that they would be encouraged to study God's Word together, to fellowship, and to serve. Now, that that conference only happens how frequently?
Every 2 or 3 years. Sometimes it's every 3 years. Sometimes it's been every 2 years. We have an upcoming conference this year in Wichita, Kansas.
Very good. Very good. I want to get to that conference in a little bit. Mm-hmm. What, aside from the conference, then, what about the rest of the time? You know, the conference only happens every 2 to 3 years. What about the rest of the time? What can we be doing for singles the rest of the time?
All right. First of all, coming up this Sunday is what we've designated as Single Adult Ministry Sunday. And it's a time for congregations to recognize that you have single adults in your congregation, mm-hmm. and that they need special prayers as well, because they have special needs. And so that's kind of what we're going to ask everybody to do this Sunday, is to say a special prayer for the single adults in their congregations. One minister did this a few years ago, and he thought he'd just have a handful of people. When he says, if you're single, please stand up or please come forward. And one-third of his congregation stood up.
Wow.
Yeah.
And we've all been there. We're all single at some point in our life, and maybe some single again at other points in their lives. What is unique about being a single adult as a Lutheran? What are those needs that you were talking about?
The needs, it's the staying connected. It's very easy for single adults to be isolated from congregations and from other people. And some of our people do not have any human contact for the first, let's say, for an entire week. So that handshake when you come out of a church and mm-hmm. the minister shakes your hand might be the only contact, human contact, they have for an entire week. And so that's one way that we stay connected with singles. Another way is to card ministries. And, do you recognize people on their birthdays? We recognize mothers on Mother's Day and fathers on Father's Day. But for those people who have never been married, they might not have children. And so when during the year do we recognize and say, hey, you're part of us. You belong with our congregation, and we're glad that you're here. Loneliness is another issue. Do you ever talk about single adults and loneliness in sermons, or use examples for single adults in sermons? So I guess those are just some of the few ways that a congregation can start, you know, connecting with the single adults in their groups.
Sure, for all of us to keep in mind for our brothers and sisters who are single or, as you pointed out, widowed or divorced, single again. That loneliness is something that they may face. It's very likely they may face it, especially if it's for a long period of time. Maybe they've been married for a long time and now newly, widowed or divorced, and having gotten used to having a spouse, and now living as a single person again, facing some fears, perhaps some loneliness. So including them in our prayers is certainly important.
Yes, and the other thing we do is in LSA. Is different district events. We hold events where they can actually reconnect with churches. Sometimes people have fallen away from a certain congregation, and they'll hear about our group. They will come to district events or our national events, and they'll say, hey, maybe it's time to go back to a congregation. Maybe not the one they were in, but maybe it might be another one in their local area as well. And by doing that, they reconnect to other people and to the body of Christ and to people here in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
And that's the most important thing, is being connected to the body of Christ to receive those gifts of God so that they hear that good news on a regular basis. When you're not there, it's hard to hear the gospel unless someone's coming to you and bringing that gospel to you.
And inviting people to invite single adults to your congregations. So district events are one way, and about 1/6 of the LCMS districts do have district groups. And if there's other people out there who would, maybe your district doesn't have a singles group, you can still attend any of those if you want to take a vacation there and see what goes on and start something in your own district. that's where the Lutheran Singles Association comes in and helps provide them with support and connection to those other people around the country to say, here, this is how we do that. So,
and that was one of my next questions. How do you get those things started? How do you get the ball rolling? What kind of support is available through LSA to really help support the singles in your congregation?
We have a number of ways that we connect with individuals all across the country. First of all, we have a LSA newsletter. We have our Facebook page where you can post and say, here, I have a problem, here's an issue. We post on Lutherans Online. They have a message board there as well. Again, our events. I have gone to different districts and they to talk and to do trainings. We have started a leadership training group that we go around and we will help congregations and districts start and learn events. So that's kind of some of the ways we're doing that. So I'm guessing through the website, through contacting through us, through Facebook, anyway, you know, talking to different board members across the country. I think we're represented in 12 different states on our board. So.
Very good. Very good. Now, you mentioned earlier that you have an upcoming conference this summer. And tell us a little bit about the conference and what we can expect at that conference.
The conference is 4th of July weekend. It's in Wichita, Kansas. And basically, Lutheran Singles Association uses our theme is Lutheran Singles Following Christ. And we use that word follow to help us in forming groups and to make sure that we have a balanced program within our organizations. And the FOLLOW stands for Fellowship, Outreach, Learning, Leadership, Organization, and Worship. And we touch on all six of those areas during our conference. Pastor Paul Rosberg is going to be our keynote speaker. Our theme is Singles, Life with Christ. So it's all about being one with Christ and connecting to Him and having a relationship with Him. We have three workshops to attend. They're basic on faith. One is on finances. One is on health-related issues to singles. We're doing some fun events. We are going to the Prairie Rose Chuck Wagon dinner one night.
I saw that on the schedule. I thought that sounded pretty fun.
And the other fun thing is that we have the Holy Cross Lutheran Polka Band going to be there to play one night. So that's going to be, I have not heard them, but this sounds like it's going to be an experience.
So from chuck wagons to polkas, Bible study and fellowship.
And we are also doing an in-gathering for a food pantry as well to do some service.
So service, all kinds of great things lined up for the conference. It sounds like a good time. Sounds like a lot of fun. How many can register for this event? How much space do you have?
Oh, well, we've had groups of sometimes as small as 50, and some of them have gotten maybe 100, 150. There's as many people as want to come we have room for, because once the facility is full, there's a local hotel that also can accommodate us.
Very good. Very good. So certainly single adults might be interested. Is there a particular age range, or who would be a good guest?
Who would encompass anywhere between 18 years old all the way up to 85. We do have some 80-year-old people that come and join us every year. We do have younger ones. They come and they're up all night playing Uno. So we encompass everybody that wants to come that is interested in single adults. Mainly, I would say the vast majority of our group is over 30 years old.
So it sounds like you've got a lot of good things lined up. Registration's already rolling. Is that correct? Registration is open?
Oh, yes. Registration is open right now. They have the ability to go to our website and download the flyer and the registration form. And when they pay their fee for the conference, it encompasses everything. So you just make one check and you have no worries for the entire weekend. We feed you from Thursday night supper through Sunday at lunch. And all the activities and all the speakers and everything is included, including your room in that price.
And the chuck wagon meal.
and the chaplain, everything included.
That'll be a lot of fun, I'm certain. Would this be, is there anyone else who would benefit from this? Obviously, singles. Is there anyone else, or is that a requirement to attend this event?
Oh, no. Not, you don't have to be Lutheran, and you don't have to be single. However, that's, you got to understand, that's
sure.
geared for it. But we do encourage pastors, people who might be interested in singles ministry and what it's all about. So we include them. We also, you don't even have to, like I said, you don't have to be Lutheran either. We have many non-denominational single adults who come to learn about what Lutherans are all about. You know, what's that strange religion or that church down there? What do they believe? And so we have had very interesting discussions on the differences of denominations and what we believe, and gives us a chance to share with the community at large.
And you have some great speakers lined up. What are the speakers? Who are the speakers, and what are they addressing at this conference this summer?
Okay, first is Pastor Paul Rothberg. And to be honest, I have not heard him, but I've heard he is really great. He is from Wyoming, and he is our keynote speaker. Again, the theme is life together with Christ. So that's what he will be speaking on. He speaks 1, 2, 3, 4 times throughout the weekend. We have Reverend Mark Frith from Kansas District.
Mm-hmm.
And he is going to be speaking on faith in single adults. Mary Hume is a parish nurse from Kansas District, and she's going to be talking about starting parish nurses and how we can, as single adults, utilize our parish nurse. And then we also have Steve Bremer from also Kansas District, but LCEF, and he's going to be talking on finances with single adults.
And I'm sure that's a question that, you know, an issue that single adults struggle with. I know in my single life, managing finances it certainly got better when I married, because having two people to look at those issues certainly made us improve.
And it raises some interesting issues when you are alone, never married, and you get into the retirement years. You know, who's going to help take care of you?
Mm-hmm.
How much finances are you going to need in order to be able to be taken care of? Who do you leave your finances to? How do you make sure your wishes are taken care of at the end? And how do you leave a legacy as mm-hmm. a single adult?
Absolutely. Those are all, I know, questions that I faced as a single person. How do I get things in order? How do I keep things in order and address those things that will come up later on in life or near the end of life, retirement? The things that you all brought up were certainly valid things, that questions that I had as a single person. Certainly that changes upon marriage, but...
Exactly. But so those are some of the issues that we talk about. And it's not just limited to that, because there's a lot of times to sit and talk, and you know, if you have concerns, hey, this is what's going on in our congregation, or this is something that I've been experiencing and I need help with, usually there is somebody there who has dealt with that and can help give you encouragement and support and say, here, this is how we dealt with that issue.
Now, the question I think that some might have, with it being the Lutheran Singles Association, some might think that there is some pressure here. It's a singles association, so the goal is for me to meet someone, to meet my future spouse at this conference or in at events with Lutheran Singles Association. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, we are not a dating service. Okay, there are many, many dating services out there, and I know there is a Facebook group that's called Marriage Minded Singles, where that's what their focus is, and
uh-huh.
that's great. But our focus is on the first relationship that everybody should be seeking out, and that's with Jesus Christ.
Very good.
So that's what we focus on. We are not a dating service. However, if you happen to meet somebody here, and we have had people who have met future spouses at conferences, that certainly does happen.
Well, very good. So there's no pressure then. It's not, oh, I'm going and I've got to make sure I look my best at this because, you know, I might meet my future spouse or, you know, people are going to be looking for their future spouse at this. That's not what it's about at all. It's all about the fellowship and
It's all about fellowship. It's all about friends. And some of these people have been friends for literally decades because they have been coming since 1969, 1970, 1971.
Wow. So there are certainly some folks who are experienced with this conference and the fellowship there. And
exactly.
I'm sure they have plenty of great stories, too.
Oh, you have no idea.
Do you have any funny stories? We've got about 2 minutes left.
Not funny stories. And I guess the one thing that if I wanted to leave your listeners with here is to think about people around them mm-hmm. that are single adults. And that, you know, hey, you think somebody else is taking care of them, and they might not be. People that, well, they used to come to church, but I haven't seen them in a while, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Take the effort, the extra 5 minutes, and call that person. Say, hey, I haven't seen you in church. What's going on? Is there something I can help with? That's real important. Or if you know somebody has a birthday, just saying happy birthday. Remembering them in your prayers, inviting them to church, inviting them out to lunch. If you're celebrating Christmas, are there single adults in your congregations or in any group? Well, you know, they might not have a family to be with this, you know, during the holidays. Especially around after January comes Valentine's Day.
Yep.
You know, take a time to send Valentine's. Hey, thinking of you around Valentine's Day to people in your groups and in the single adults because they might not get a Valentine that day. So that's really what I want to leave people with. Think about the single adults in your congregations, and we'll have some fun things going on too as a group. And say, hey, there's a group out there.
Excellent. Outstanding. It sounds like you've got a good time lined up at the conference and you all are doing great things to encourage one another and to help those of us who aren't single to be thinking about the singles and what we can do for our single brothers and sisters in Christ.
Right.
Linda, it has been great talking with you. We really appreciate you taking time to be our guest today on Faith and Family, and we wish you well and God's blessings to you and the folks with LSA and the conference coming up this summer.
All right. Thank you very much, and thank you for inviting me.
Certainly, certainly. Coming up in the next segment, we're going to talk with our friends from Concordia Publishing House. How do you address those questions, or how do you even prepare for those questions that your children are going to have around the corner? You know they're coming, those questions about God's gift of sexuality. And how do you start addressing them before the world starts addressing them for you or on your behalf? So stick around. We've got more to talk about right here on Faith and Family on listener-supported worldwide KFUO.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Today I'm in Washington, D.C., participating in the March for Life. I'll be joining over 100,000 friends in a colossal human display for life. The day started with an interdenominational service of prayer and reflection, seeking God's favor in ending this modern-day holocaust of abortion. At this service, I was honored to receive the National Pro-Life Recognition Award. After the march, I'll attend the annual Rose Dinner. It's a gathering of grassroots pro-lifers and a who's who of pro-life leaders. Tomorrow, I'll participate in a board meeting for the Terry Schiavo Life and Hope Network. One of the reasons I come to the march is to refill my motivation tank. I get enough here to last me the rest of the year. Please pray for our ongoing efforts to end abortion.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
With the next broadcast of Law and Gospel being a Rumination Thursday, we are going to be having with us Reverend Wes Reimnitz. And we're going to be doing what we were unable to finish last week, and that is to talk about evolution. Views on evolution, polls on evolution, and ammunition for you to talk to your friends about evolution.
Weekday mornings beginning at 9:30 on KFUO.
Have you ever thought about becoming a worldwide KFUO Day sponsor? There are plenty of reasons to do so. Perhaps a birthday, an anniversary, celebration of a baptism, confirmation, graduation, any event. It's easy. Just call Mary or Joni at 1-800-844-0524. That's 800-844-0524. And become a worldwide KFUO Day sponsor today.
Hi, I'm Pastor Doug Nicely. Are you a little bit testy about the inclusive language translations of the Bible that have come out recently? For instance, in Galatians chapter 3, St. Paul writes, "For in Christ Jesus you were all children of God through faith." Actually, I'm quoting the King James Version here. The more recent translations call us sons of God through faith. We'll talk about how both of those translations are true this week on In His Steps.
Thousands of students from Catholic schools around the country are in Washington to demonstrate against abortion on this 41st anniversary of the Supreme Court's Roe v. Wade decision. March for Life President Jeanne Monahan says,
"They've made extraordinary sacrifices to be here. They're on buses all night and sleeping, you know, on gym floors and what have you. But these young people are so enthusiastic about building a culture of life, and how could I not get out there with them?"
Despite forecasts of deep snow and sub-zero wind chills,
"We've lost 56 million Americans to abortion over the course of the last 41 years. And even though it's going to be really, really cold, we couldn't not get out there."
Today's march follows a Catholic youth rally and mass celebrated by Washington Cardinal Donald Worrell. The Archdiocese of Washington says it's meant to encourage the youth participating in the National March for Life in their witness as disciples of Christ and promoters of the gospel of life. I'm Steve Coleman.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates, your host. It is Wednesday, January 22nd. It is time to get into a topic that probably makes some parents shake in their boots, I'm guessing. I know as a new parent, I'm just trying to figure out how to even approach the topic. And that is how to talk with your children about God's gift of sexuality. We're going to talk about that today. Our guest for this segment is Dr. Rodney Rathman, Senior Editor of School Midweek and Confirmation Materials at Concordia Publishing House in St. Louis. Good morning, Dr. Rathman.
Good morning, Andy.
Good to have you with us this morning. We, you know, Faith and Family, we cover a lot of topics. And this week we're covering the Sixth Commandment. And I thought, man, this is a great week to really broach the subject. How do you talk to your kids about God's gift of sex and sexuality? And you all have put together these materials that have been used for years and revised and updated. You've got a great set of materials here. You know, a pack of six books, including most of the books for the kids, but including a book for parents as well. How to talk with your child about sex. And I know it's a frightening subject that many parents face. How did you even go about beginning to develop this series?
Well, actually, the series in its present form is the result of probably four or five revisions. Learning about sex, and as you indicated, Andy, it consists of five books that are available in both girls and boys editions, and they're put together developmentally. And they're identified also by age group. So let's say you're a parent of a three-year-old or a four-year-old, you would buy the first volume. Or you're a parent for a child who's going through puberty, you would buy one for that age group. And so there are those five books available in both boys and girls editions. And then there's also a book called How to Talk Confidently with Your Child About Sex, and that's for for parents. The initial series, the first one, came out back in 1982, and I think Concordia Publishing House actually pioneered in this area, providing a biblical, gospel-centered resource for parents who are asking for it. And as you pointed out, Andy, and I like the way you worded that, it causes even the bravest of parents, I think, to tremble in their boots. For me, it's just a little bit passe looking back on that, but I remember when as a parent, I'm a grandparent now with grown children, but as a parent, I had that challenge. And what the learning about sex materials do is it provides parents with a resource that they can look at with their children and walk beside them in their emerging understanding of how God made us.
Very good. Very good. It walks them through in a... As I was looking through the materials, it put me at ease a little bit about this subject. Give us just a little idea of how it approaches the subject developmentally with the first book, which is what, ages 4 through 6. What do you start with in that book?
You help young children to understand that God made us male and female in an age-appropriate way. And then you help them to understand that God put us together with other people in families. So there's an understanding of what it means to be an individual, but what it means also to relate to people who are different from us by virtue of gender, but other differences as well. You know, and it's part of that emerging understanding of first yourself and how you relate to God as his child in the language of King David, fearfully and wonderfully made. And then also in the relationships that God has given us to enjoy with one another. And that first book ends with a discussion of God's people together in a church, in the church, which I think is a neat way to look at all of it and begin a discussion of it.
And it does a nice job of literally providing pictures to help us understand who we are, who God has created us to be, as male and female, in relationship to one another, in as you said, in families, in the family of God, in the church. It really does a nice job of creating those pictures. I want to invite our listeners, if you have questions today as well, thanks to our friends at Concordia Publishing House, we have some two sets to give away, one for a family with a boy and one for a family with a girl or girls. And so the first question about a boy, we've got a set to give away, all 6 books, the 5 books for the children and 1 book for the parent. First question about a boy, we'll give away a set to that. And first question about a girl, we'll give away a set for a family with the girls. Phone number 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. Now, Dr. Rethman, you know, we talked about that first book. That it's pretty basic, pretty simple stuff. You know, I'm a boy and she's a girl, and this is what God has made us to be, and it gives pictures and in very simple forms. Now we're moving, you know, from after ages 4 through 6, then we go into that second book. What do we start covering in that?
In the second book, there is again the context is a family. But the family is preparing for the birth of a child, and the older siblings are trying to understand this. So it walks the child through what happens with the process of welcoming a child into the family, and provides some factual information too about the child as it grows from the time of conception until birth. So the second book really falls out in the form of an engaging narrative. So you could sit down and read a little bit of it with your child every night and help him or her to understand, again, some of the things that we talked about with respect to the first book, God Made Us Different, and how he provides for the ongoing population of his world through reproduction.
And it's appropriately entitled, Where Do Babies Come From?
Right. Yeah, I think that one would be especially great for a situation like I described, where there's a baby on the way and children are asking questions about how that all comes about.
And now it targets ages 7 through 9. And as you explained earlier, there's a boys edition and a girls edition. So it's geared toward, one edition is certainly geared toward boys and understanding it from their perspective, and one for girls and understanding it from their perspective. And then from after that, Where Do Babies Come From? And both of these, the first two books are hardback books. They're children's. They're just like, when you look at it, when you hold them, they look a lot like other children's books. But yet, at the same time, they're special because they cover a very special topic. So after the first two books, then we move into the third book for ages 10 to 12. And what's going on then?
In that series, there is a lot more factual information provided. And by the way, that the amount of information that's provided in an age-appropriate way, it becomes a little bit more detailed as you go along with respect to anatomy and physiology and the psychology, the psychological aspects of human development. Those are explored with children that are going through, say, for example, physical changes that they're trying to understand, which is part, of course, of God's plan for each of us. And some of it follows a pretty predictable chart, but there's also the capacity for understanding areas where we might be different. Let's say, for example, and this is a for instance, out of one of the books, there is a boy who says, you know, I really feel like I'm not growing. I seem to be smaller than all the other boys. And his dad pulled him aside and said, well, you know, the men in our family, we tend to be small for a while, but eventually we kind of catch up. So, you know, you don't need to be concerned about that. And even if you aren't as tall as some of the others, you know, that's just the way God made you. And, hey, it's not always so great to be tall anyway. And you know that if you've ever tried to get a seat on the airplane and happened to be bigger than normal. So on and on with that kind of thing. And I might mention, too, Andy, as we're talking about it, that through the years we jockeyed back and forth with respect to these age ranges that are on the books. In fact, at one point we even thought, well, maybe we should take them off. But through the revisions, we've gotten feedback from parents that have suggested that those are helpful. But in the table of contents, we indicate, well, you know, these are just a general kind of guide for parents. It depends on individual readiness with respect to this kind of information. But one thing that can be said of all the books in every series is that they take a very biblical, gospel-centered approach to this topic.
Why is that important today? Why is that important?
Well, we live in a culture where we're just bombarded with sexuality, and one may be inclined to think, well, what does the church teach? The church teaches the sixth commandment, thou shalt not,
thou shalt not commit adultery, yes.
The intent, then, is what you should not do, but God's word also provides these things in the context of the new people that he has made us to be in Christ. I'm thinking, for example, as we're talking here about Matthew 19, Jesus has an interchange with Pharisees, and they're trying to trap him in something. They ask questions about Moses and what he allowed with respect to divorce. And it's interesting. We do this today. We try to understand things according to the norms of our time, and Jesus instead directs the Pharisees right back to the beginning, back to Genesis, when he created Adam and Eve. And he says, this is the way that God intended it to be. Well, so the Bible is more than a collection of what we should not do with respect to our sexuality, but it's a life that God has given us to live in him. And if you think about it, Genesis begins with a marriage of our first parents, Adam and Eve, in Eden, and it ends with the marriage of Christ and his church in Revelation. So all of this is part of an understanding of the relationships that God would have us have, first of all, with him, and then what it means for us to interact effectively with other people.
It really paints the picture from the perspective of it's a gift. Everything is a gift from God and what we're given.
Right. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I want to remind our listeners, we have the listener lines open, 1-800-730-2727. If you're calling with a question, first question about boys and some of the questions that might come up or that might be addressed in the series, we'd be glad to take that call, 1-800-730-2727. Same goes for the girls. If you have a question about what questions might be addressed for girls in this series, give us a call, 1-800-730-2727. We've got some gift sets to give away of the whole series today. Or you can call the St. Louis number, 314-821-0850. Now, so that third book kind of addresses that age range of 10 to 12, and I think that's probably the years when the angst sets in and begins, at least for, I don't know, maybe more for girls, I'm not sure, or maybe for more for boys. So after the third book, then we move into the fourth book, Sex and the New You, and it's ages 13 to 15 is kind of the guideline or the age range for that book. What do we find in this fourth book?
Here you're going to find a lot more detailed information about the changes that are associated with puberty. And there's a discussion of, for example, complexion problems, zits and so on, and the need perhaps at this age to start using deodorant. So there's just a lot of helpful information that's provided with respect to development. And then the whole idea of becoming attracted to the opposite sex and what that means, how that's part of God's plan, and so on. So with each level, there's a lot more detailed information and also encouragement for people to, when they're at this stage, to try to learn as much as they can about lots of different people without forming too deep of relationships with any one person. And that would also continue into the next book, where you're actually looking ahead then to the mm-hmm. kind of person you would like to marry.
So here, not only are we talking about our bodies and the changes that are going on with our bodies in that age, but also our relationship to those around us, specifically those of the opposite sex, mm-hmm. and how we relate to them, what we're looking for in a future spouse, and perhaps maybe the questions we should ask.
Right. I might mention, too, that, you know, perhaps perhaps it's not in the plan for everyone to be married, and that also is accommodated in the book. But it doesn't matter whether married or single. We still relate to God, and we still relate to others, persons of both sexes, of both genders, and what that means. So a lot of helpful information provided in the context of supportive, caring adults. The intent is not that anyone would go through any one of these books individually, although mm-hmm. I suppose that could happen, and probably there are worse things. But the idea is that you go through it together with an adult who could answer questions and engage you in a meaningful discussion. Ideally, this person would be a parent. But we do also sell the series to schools and churches who go through this in a way that would be organized and designed certainly with the knowledge of the parents, but also with their partnership and in place of the parents. In other words, you might present information in school or in Sunday school, but the intent would be that the parents would follow up on it at home. I know I was very appreciative when my boys were in junior high. They had this topic as part of Sunday school, and the parents were aware of it, and we could follow up then at home.
So it's a series that could be used certainly as an intended for a curriculum to be used at home between parents and children, but could also be used in another setting such as a classroom or, as you said, in a church setting, maybe a church education setting like Sunday school or something like that, where parents would certainly be a part of it. It's supporting the work that parents are doing in the home of teaching and catechizing their children.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Very good. So all five books take us from, you know, ages around 4 through 6, all the way up through that last book, number 5, Love, Sex, and God, ages 15 and up, addressing questions that teens are going to be dealing with. And then there's another book we'll get to in just a minute. That's the parent book. Anything else about book number 5 about teens and what it addresses?
I might just add, Andy, that in all of these books, and by the way, in the earliest versions, there was just one book. It wasn't until later on that parents suggested that we have a series that would be specifically for boys and another specifically for girls. But it's not that there's just information about boys and male development in the boys' versions and then similarly for girls. But there's an emphasis on what a boy might be going through or feeling, and then also information about what might perhaps be looked upon as a parallel kind of development or issues in the opposite sex. That's the way that the series is designed. But I would say all the way along, without getting into a lot of specifics, because I'll to be real honest with you, Andy, I'm afraid I'm going to forget what exactly is in each book.
Sure.
But just to say that developmentally, I think it prepares them for what may be coming, what might be happening in their bodies or in the lives that they're living every day, but also help them to anticipate what might be coming up in the next stage of development. So, helping to provide the kinds of answers to questions that young people, as they grow and develop, may be looking for. I think, you know, sometimes you hear people say, well, you know, sex education really doesn't have any place in the family. People will figure it out on their own. Well, you know, that's one perspective. That's one way of looking at it. I think I would, though, try to encourage people to think about the kinds of influences that we're bombarded with every day.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that you really can't stop teaching or learning about these kinds of things. So the question becomes, what is it that our children are learning, and from whom are they learning it?
Absolutely. Where are they learning it, and what are they going to learn from those? If they're not learning it at home, where are they learning it, and specifically, what is it they're learning if they're not learning
exactly.
at home?
Yeah, that's exactly.
Mm-hmm. Well, this book number 5, Love, Sex, and God for teens, for young men ages 15 and up, and the girls as well for young women 15 and up, it addresses a lot of topics, but it does so really from the perspective of questions that have been asked already, that teens would ask. It poses questions not just about sex, but about relationships to others as well, breaking up and dating and all those things. And it poses the questions as a teen would.
Mm-hmm.
So it's coming from that perspective of a teen and then answering it with an honest and forthright answer. So I think it's done a nice job addressing that from the teen's perspective. I'd like to address the last book in the series, and that's number 6, and that is the parent's book, How to Talk Confidently with Your Child About Sex. I spent some time reading through this recently and helping me prepare for talking with my 4-month-old about God's gift of sexuality. And it really, you know, I thought, oh, that's a nice way to think about that, how to approach that topic, how to even bring it up. And it really does start very young. Having looked through this book, you start having those conversations very young is what I'm getting from this book, so that it opens the doors for those conversations throughout the rest of life. So that you're avoiding that scenario that you were talking about just a little bit ago, where it's not that the conversations aren't coming up at home and then they're finding answers, albeit they may not be very good answers in other places.
Right, right. Andy, it's fun listening to you talk. I can sense the excitement that you're feeling as a young parent. It's a reminder to me once again what I said earlier. You know, this teaching learning thing, you know, it doesn't ever stop. It doesn't ever stop.
Right.
And as a parent, I think we probably teach perhaps the strongest lessons not by what we say, but by what we do. Both are important, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you teach your child in the way men and women react with one another as you react with your wife or share life together with your wife. We never stop teaching and we never stop learning. But even as you were commenting here, you know, about a developmental way to begin teaching about sexuality to a very young child, it is interesting to ponder that, isn't it? You know, we help that child understand that he is loved by us, that he's loved by God, that God made him or her, you know, to be the person that they are. He made mm-hmm. them to be a boy, or made them to be a girl, made them to be interested in cars or trains mm-hmm. or crafts or dance. You know, he made all of us different with different interests. And he designed for us a life in which we could serve him in the relationship that we enjoy with him and also with one another. I want to make just a comment. I was thinking about it when you were talking, Andy, about that fifth book that has the question and answer format. We're at the place where we're looking once again to do a revision of the series, and we know that there are a lot of things that need to be addressed because they're in the news. Mm-hmm. You know, gay marriage would be one thing. Then there's the issue of technology and how that's affected the transmission of images. I'll say it that way. I mean, we've got a problem with texting and how young children come to deal with all of that. But perhaps your listeners have some other feedback, too, that they would want to provide as people who have used the series. It first came out in 1982, so that means what? 32 years? I mean, that's a long time that the series has been out. Literally, generations have been raised by the series. But maybe your listeners have some suggestions for things we want to be sure to include in this next series.
Sure, in the revisions, that would be great.
Yeah.
Certainly. If you have questions about that, if they have some recommendations, where would you like for us to point them?
They could contact me directly at Concordia Publishing House, and if you know, they're in the car, for example, and don't want to write down the number, I can give you the number. But let's say you don't not able to write it down, you can
sure.
just call the publishing house and ask for me. My name is Rathman, and they'll transfer you down. But the number is 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040, or you could email me at rodney.rathman@cph.org. That's rodney.rathmann@cph.org. There's two N's on the back of my name. But Andy, you'd asked a little bit about how to talk confidently with your child about sex. I might mention, with respect to that book, the sixth in the series, the final one, the one for parents.
Mm-hmm. And we've got about a minute left.
Okay, there's one book that is for both parents of males and parents of females,
mm-hmm.
and it provides helps for parents of children of all ages, really, including how to relate to adult children, which is an interesting topic for
sure.
someone at my stage of life.
It's true. I was reading through it last night and really gained some insights and thought, wow, I've never really thought about it from that perspective. That's very helpful, actually. So even if you have adult children, it I think it would be very helpful, a great resource. Well, this is a last chance, listeners. I'll even take the pressure off. You don't have to ask a question on the air. If you are first caller interested in the full set for families with boys, 1-800-730-2727, or same number if you're calling first caller for interested on the set of the Learning About Sex series from Concordia Publishing House, Girl Edition, give us a call, 1-800-730-2727. We'll be glad to take those calls, and so we can include you, give you this great set from Concordia Publishing House. Rodney, it has been great talking with you today. Thanks so much for taking time out of your schedule today to answer those questions for us and give us some confidence as we start approaching this topic with our kids.
Thanks, Andy. Thanks for all you do.
Absolutely.
God bless.
God's blessings to you, too. Coming up later on this week, we're going to continue our conversation with the God's Gift of Sexuality Task Force from the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I hope you can join us for that conversation tomorrow. And throughout the rest of the week, we'll continue the Sixth Commandment here on Faith and Family. Moments of Assurance up next on listener-supported Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time.
Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.